We are looking at plans, you know, being a small group pastor here at church and looking at organizing small groups. You know, one of the things that we really want to focus on is discipleship. And that's what I want to speak to us about this morning, being not only a disciple of Christ, but also being a discipler. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he says, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen? Follow me as I follow Christ. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. I ask, Lord, for your anointing, Lord Jesus. I ask, Lord God, for open hearts, Lord Jesus. I ask, oh God, that we would receive your calling, that you would we would receive your conviction this morning, that we would receive, Lord Jesus Christ, the duty that you have asked us. And that is to make disciples of all nations. Move upon us this morning. Prepare our hearts, I pray, for the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In May, Esquire magazine had an article where they asked 50 famous men this question. Who made you, or what made you, the man you are today? Now, these men, you know, you'd recognize many of them. Chris Pratt was one of them, Samuel Jackson, even some famous pastors were in the mix. And many of them had the same things that they were saying. You know, the fathers, you know, were a great influence, mothers, teachers. Yeah, but there were a few very interesting answers. Tyler Perry, do you guys know who Tyler Perry is? He's a producer and an actor, and he's got a number of movies that they put together. He named his neighbor as the most influential person in his life. And the reason that he gave was because he came from a big family. I think he said he had 9 brothers and sisters. And his neighbor was one of the only people that would actually talk to him on a daily basis. He made a point of actually going and just kind of talking to him, identifying that he existed in life. Samuel L. Jackson's answer was also worth mentioning and thinking about. You know, he stated that women have had a huge impact in his life. His mom, his aunts, and they poured into him and they fed into him and they encouraged him. But one of the most important things that he learned through that process was to keep his mouth shut and to listen. And that's something that I thought was very interesting, to be honest like that, to just, you know, famous guy, very influential, just to be quiet and listen, right? See, everyone in this room is influenced by others. If we look at our lives, we're going to see that there's people in our lives, family, friends, coworkers, neighbors, teachers, that have had a huge impact on us, who have been used by God to guide us and direct us to the place where we're at today. And even sitting in the chairs that you guys are sitting in, I would venture to say that God has used people to get you here. That there was somebody in your life that encouraged you to come to church, just like Randy was saying. You know, handing out that little card, somebody was influential in getting you here and making a difference in your life. Every one of us has a great influence over others too, whether as a parent or as a friend, as a coworker, and even the people that we bump into on a daily basis or even drive by in our cars. We have a huge influence on other people to either make their day or to kind of bum them out, right? How many of you guys have ever been, your day was completely ruined by something that happened on the way to work? Or vice versa, right? Vice versa. If somebody let you into traffic and you're like, oh, that's awesome. And then you're going to pay it forward, right? You put a smile on your face. See how influential one simple act can be on us and our attitudes? And we want to recognize that influence that we have today. See, our actions have great effects on the course of someone's day. And even sometimes, someone's entire life. You know, I'm a scientist, and I like to think about the physical world and what we can see and what we can measure. You know, as a scientist, a lot of times people think that there's a conflict between science and religion. Or I don't want to say religion. I want to say science and believing that there's a God. But I want to tell you right now, I have never found anything in science that contradicts but only confirms that there is a God in heaven who is guiding and who is directing and who is leading. There is a God in heaven who organized every atom in your body and every atom of creation. Amen? There's something that we refer to in science called the butterfly effect. Have you guys ever heard of that before? The butterfly effect? It was actually done in a study through meteorology. And it was looking at how small things might influence dramatic weather changes. And they talked about a butterfly's wings beating, creating actions in air currents, and how that could possibly have an effect on major weather high-pressure movements, causing things like hurricanes to develop and different weather patterns that can affect an entire nation. And so even in science, we recognize the small things that have huge impacts on our everyday life. Now, as Christians, I want you guys to know that your lives matter. Your lives matter here today, amen? Your lives matter. Whether we want to admit to it or not, our lives have an impact that is far, far reaching in all directions. Not only on people, but all of creation is looking at us and waiting patiently, waiting with groans and with agony for God to be revealed in us. Romans 8:19, it says, all of creation waits as a mother in pains of labor for God's glory to be revealed in us. Isn't that amazing? See, all of creation is watching us and waiting for us to be filled with the glory of God and for God's glory to be poured out through us as Christians. That's kind of heavy, isn't it? Now, it can be a little intimidating, right? Knowing that people are watching you. But it's also exciting at the same time, amen? When Christ walked the earth, people were drawn to him. And as he approached towns and cities, people who were possessed with demons would recognize him far off in the distance, and they would start to cry out, "The Son of God is approaching. Look, it's the Son of God." They would yell out. They would announce his coming. Even the demons would announce the entrance of the Son of God. And if we are Christ's followers, that same focus is given to us. That same focus is given to us as Christians. Now, that's one of the biggest reasons that people are so judgmental when it comes to Christians. Have you guys ever felt judged? Being, you know, as you call yourself a Christian, you know, that draws scrutiny, doesn't it? That draws scrutiny. And people look at your lives and they're going to compare you to what they think a Christian should be. Or they've heard what a Christian should be, right? Most of the world thinks of the United States as a Christian nation. And the example that we give shows them what a Christ follower is supposed to be like. So if that's a good example, and if they see Christ reflected in us, they're drawn, right? They're drawn to that. Like that individual asking, those three individuals that are asking Randy, "So what are you going to do?" "Well, I'm looking for a church." Because they're drawn to the Christ that's being reflected in Randy. Now, the same thing can be said opposite, in the opposite way. If we don't produce, if we call ourselves Christians and we don't reflect Christ, a lot of times that justifies people's actions to reject Christ. Now, I heard this quote the other day. I didn't write down who actually stated it, but it just pierced my soul. It pierced my heart. It said, this individual that was talking, he said, Christians have produced more atheists than evolution. That's tough. But I'm thinking about that. I'm like, you know what? He's probably right. He's probably right. You see, people are craving to see how God transforms your life. Like Brother Bijou had said one time, he said, we are not to be a billboard for everybody to look at us, right? We're supposed to be a street sign that points the direction to Jesus Christ. And if we don't point the direction to Jesus Christ, right, people are going to get lost. People are going to get lost. We have plenty of individuals who act like a billboard and say, look at me, look at me, look at me, right? But what we need is we need more street signs. We need more people that are pointing to Christ. Like Paul said, follow me because I'm following him, right? Follow me, I'm following that guy. I'm following Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Because we are always being watched. You can't escape that. You can't escape the scrutiny that Christians are under, especially in these days. When you call yourself a Christian, you immediately draw attention to yourself, good or bad. And people are watching. People are going to be watching, whether we want to admit it or not. And if we don't keep our eyes focused on Jesus, we're going to get lost. We're not. I know, what a bummer, right? You know, Pastor Jimmy was really liking that one. Well, you guys know what happens, right? He gets tangled up and he gets captured. What a bummer. All because he loses sight of who he's supposed to be following, amen? I heard another story, too. You guys know who the Red Baron is? You guys ever heard of the Red Baron? Yeah? That fictional character that Snoopy the dog fights on Thanksgiving? No, Red Baron. Obviously, the Red Baron was a bad guy, right? Because he fought for Germany in World War I. We watched a documentary about his life. It turned out that he was more of a patriot than a follower of the regime. You know, he fought for Germany. Now, obviously, he was a very successful person. He was a baron, you know, son of a wealthy family. Shot more pilots down than any other pilot in World War I or any pilot ever. But the reason that he was shot down is that he followed an Allied pilot into Allied territory. So not only was he getting shot at from another airplane, but people were shooting up at him from the ground. And the best history that I could find actually states that he was probably shot from the ground, from someone shooting up at him from the ground. And he was shot right in the heart. But he was able to land his plane, and the first people that got to him, he looked at him and said, my heart is broken. My heart is kaput. And then he leaned over and he died. But when they were thinking about what had happened, he had followed someone that he wasn't supposed to be following. He should have broke off and he should have went back into, you know, what they would call the German lines. And so when we start to follow the wrong thing, all right, what makes you a Christian? Let me ask some kids. When we think about a follower of Jesus Christ, we think about somebody who's different, right? We think about somebody who listens to God and who's forgiven of their sins. You know, as an adult, we think about our lives. What evidence in our life shows that we are Christians? Does our life show that we follow the teachings of Jesus in every area of your life? In every area of your life, can you say that you have evidence, that you are reflecting the teachings of Jesus? And I've got to be honest, there's some areas in my life that I'm still working on. When I'm out working on some logs and those logs aren't behaving the way they should, sometimes I get mad. And there's an area of my life that I have to change, that I'm asking God to change, so that I reflect Jesus in all situations. When we look at Jesus, Jesus gave us a great example, right? When he was here walking on this earth, he gave us a great example for us to follow. And he called to the disciples and he said, follow me. He said, follow me. He called to 12 other people. Isn't that interesting? Now, there must have been some kind of evidence in his life that made these men decide to follow Jesus, not because he just kind of walked by, right? I mean, wouldn't that be weird? Somebody just walks by and says, hey, Mariah, follow me. And you're like, who the heck is that guy, right? You're not going to follow that guy unless you have seen something about him that makes you curious, right? That makes you respect them, that makes you want to be around them, that makes you want to be like them. For us to be true followers of Christ, we need to learn that example. What was the example that Christ left for us to begin to walk in? When I look at Jesus' life, you know, you could preach a whole year on these things, right? At least. Maybe not. Maybe the rest of your lifetime. But I want to break it down into just three things. Number one, when we look at Jesus' example and what he taught the disciples to follow, see, one of the first things that Jesus did is that he studied the scriptures. He studied the scriptures. Now, you can run into a lot of people who know a lot about scripture but aren't following it, right? They're not living out the scripture. They know a lot up here, but it's never made the 16 inches from here to here. And it's very obvious that they're talking about head knowledge and not talking about heart knowledge. In Luke 26 and 47, we find Jesus sitting in the temple when he was only 12 years old, and he was talking with the chief priests, asking them questions and answering their questions, and the chief priests were amazed at how much he knew and the answers that he was given, because Christ studied the scriptures. He studied them diligently to learn about his Father, to learn about who God was, to expand his understanding of what it was that God wanted and what God was expecting from his people and what God was doing for his people, what God had done. And so we as Christians show that we are followers of Christ by making sure that we find ourselves in the scriptures. I would encourage you to do this on a daily basis, to read the Bible on a daily basis. I know there's a lot of good books out there, and you get, you know, read the Bible in a year, right? And that's great. That's fantastic. You can read the Bible faster in a year if you want to, right? I know a pastor down in Indiana, he reads the Bible from front to back, I think, every 6 weeks. Every 6 weeks, he goes front to back, and he just does it over and 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 over again. That's pretty aggressive. Yeah. I've done it a few times, still working on my next rotation. But studying the scriptures to show yourself approved, right? Okay, number two, Christ spent time alone in prayer. You see, even Jesus snuck away and got alone with his Father. He got alone with God. And like Johnny was saying, when you devote time to get away amidst all of the distractions, to push everything aside, to take your to-do list and put it on the shelf, take your cell phone and turn it off. Get alone with Jesus Christ. He's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to your heart. See, in Matthew 14, verse 23, even in the midst of his ministry, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, healing the men with leprosy, giving sight to the blind, he would steal away. He would kind of sneak away, be a little sneaky about it. Say, okay, you guys all go on ahead of me. And then just kind of turn the corner, get alone with God for a few hours. See, we need to spend time in prayer. When we are in prayer, it's God's opportunity to speak into us. Now, we always have things that are on our hearts, right? And there's times where we bring things before the Lord, but prayer is supposed to be a two-way conversation. Prayer is not just for us to lift our concerns up to Him, but our prayer is for us to lift our hands free from burden and just receive what God has for us. To just spend time listening, just spend time receiving. How did Jesus know that he was going to meet a mute person and heal them? How did Jesus know that he was going to go to the pool of Bethesda and heal a lame person? Well, it's because he spent time in prayer. God, the Father, revealed it to him. The third thing that Christ showed us is to spend time with others in fellowship. Like Linda was saying, food is good. Amen? Food is good. And breaking bread with one another is one of those important things that we need to do on a more regular basis. All right? It's just good to get alone, and it's good to fellowship, and it's good for people to see you outside of the church, outside of a Sunday morning service, because that's when they really get to know who you are and what you're really like. I mean, you could be a Sunday Christian, right? And there's a lot of Sunday Christians, and because of Sunday Christians, it kind of justifies what's happening in our world, right? It shows an example. Well, you can be a Christian if you go to church and then do all kinds of things over here. I guess that's okay. I guess that's fine to mesh those things together. But see, every area of our life should be permeated. We should be permeated with the presence of God. We should be permeated with his example. Every area of our life should reflect God. And one of the ways that that happens is by meeting on a regular basis, meeting together throughout the week. Paul encouraged the church to meet together more and more and more frequently, encouraging one another to do good works, even as we say, see the days approaching. I'm not sure about you, but I get the feeling that the days are fast approaching. Changes are occurring in our world extremely rapidly right now. And we have to be diligent. We have to make sure that we know on what side of the line we stand. There's no more black and white. Well, there's no more gray area, right? There's no more gray area. Either you are or you aren't. And it's becoming more and more and more and more obvious who is a true follower of Jesus Christ and who is not. If we call ourselves Christians, our lives will show an example of what he has already exampled through the scriptures. Jesus said, you will know my disciples by their love, right? By their love for one another. And because they obey my commandments. They obey my word. And where did he get his word? He got his word from the Father. He got his word from the scriptures. And when you hear about somebody saying, well, this isn't really the word of God. It was written by a bunch of guys. I don't even know if they were Christians. right? Because Christ didn't come to the New Testament. But this Bible, this is the inerrant Word of God. This is the Word of God. And every word, every scripture is good for teaching. Every scripture. And like the very end of the Bible says that there should not be any change made, right? If anybody tries to change this, then they're going to be cursed. And so we live our lives according to what's written here in the scriptures. We live our lives according to what was handed down. Christ read the scriptures. He knew the scriptures. He exampled the scriptures, and he taught others to do the same thing. When he left, he gave us one more commandment, and that was found in Matthew 28, 19, and 20. See, let us see his life revealed. He showed us what it meant to know the scriptures. He showed us what it meant to spend time in prayer. He showed us to fellowship with one another. And he gave us the commandment to go and make disciples. So not only should we be following Christ and keep our eyes focused on Christ, but we should also be leading others and discipling others so that they can follow Christ. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Now, for good, well, not necessarily for good, but when we look at Christian churches today in America, especially in America, we've kind of propagated this understanding that you can come on a Sunday morning, get a good message, and then if you need any help, call the pastor, right? Call the pastor, and he'll take care of it, right? You got some need, call the pastor, and that's okay. All right, as pastors, we're here to raise others up as well. We're here to be disciplers. We're here to train and to equip the church. But training and equipping means that sooner or later, you guys are the ones that are doing it. And yet, so often we come and we have itching ears. Like it says in the Bible, we have itching ears. We come to church to hear a good message preached. Makes us feel good. But then the rest of the week, we've lost that passion. We've lost that fire. And we just kind of do our own thing, waiting for the next Wednesday night service or waiting for the next message on the radio to kind of make us feel good again. We have learned to live our lives vicariously through the pastor, through missionaries who come and tell us all the awesome things that God is doing. And we find benefit to that, right? We find benefit in listening to testimonies. But how many of us have a testimony to share like that? How many of us have testimonies to give? If we don't have a testimony to give, then we need to get in the game. We need to start living life and not just hearing about it. How many of you kids have a favorite food? What's your favorite food, Joshua? Potato salad. What's your favorite? That's awful special. That's a little plug for potato salad. What's your favorite food, Max? Cheese pizza? Yeah. Kiana, what's your favorite food? Pasta? What, any kind of pasta? Or is there a special type? Alfredo. How about you, Haley? Watermelon. Oh, all right. Now, think about this. Think about this just for a minute. How many of us are satisfied hearing about food and being like, you know, that's great. Oh, it sounds so good. Ooh, I just want some watermelon. And here's a slice of watermelon. And you look at the watermelon, but you never take a bite. You never take a bite. You just look at it. Boy, that's some good watermelon. And then you put it on the shelf and you walk away. How many of us are satisfied with that? We wouldn't be satisfied if there's some potato salad up here. We'd be wanting to dig in. Right? But when it comes to the Bible and it comes to Jesus And it comes to living our lives as Christians. How many of us have become satisfied with hearing how awesome it is, seeing the benefits and the blessing that God gives to us, and then walking away from it? How many of us have done that? Because we have become, the Christian church has become so complacent, satisfied with just going to church on a Sunday morning, seeing how good it is and how wonderful it is, but never taking a bite. We have seen our society slip from us. America, the beautiful, God shed his grace on you. These men died for religious freedom. They died for freedom, but freedom in America has become perverted. Now it's become freedom to sin. Freedom to do whatever you want to do. Just don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me about God. Don't tell me about that kind of stuff. But we know as Christians that Jesus didn't die to condemn the world. He died for forgiveness, like Irina was saying. He died so that we can receive forgiveness, that we can receive love, that we can receive validation. People are looking at us. People are watching us to see, what does a Christian look like? What does a Christ follower look like? Not just in word, but in speech. Now, many of us might think, you know, how can I serve God, right? I don't have enough Bible. I don't have enough training. I'm not trained up. I haven't gone to college for being a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. But do you need that? Do you need special training to be an example of Jesus Christ? Do you need special training to reflect God's love, to reflect his glory? You see, God has a plan for each of our lives. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, but it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that someone can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Those scriptures say a lot. For it is by grace we have been saved. See, we can't save ourselves. We can't save ourselves by doing good works. Because that's a billboard, right? That's a billboard that's saying, hey, look at me. Look at me. If you pray an hour a day, if you influence your friends, you can be successful. But Paul didn't say that. He said, by grace we have been saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It was a gift. It was a gift of God. Because we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. And each of us has good works prepared for us. And through those good works, people are going to get to see an example of who Christ really is. We fix our eyes upon Jesus. We fix our eyes upon the author and the perfecter of our faith. So when we think about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and leading others to follow Jesus as well, we don't need special training. All we need to do is keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep our eyes fixed on where we want to go. Have you guys ever done that while you're in a vehicle? You guys are driving down the road and something catches your eye? Usually for me, it's, I don't know, maybe a boat or something like that, or maybe it's a big deer in the field. I'm like, oh, does that have any points on it? But you ever notice that when you look at something, you tend to steer in that direction and find yourself going in the ditch, right? You guys ever do that? I guess it's just me. I guess it's just me. But you will always follow where your eyes are focused. And if your eyes are focused on Jesus, your life will follow in that direction. And you can say, hey, I'm following Jesus. Do you want to come along? You don't have to be specially trained. Luke chapter 9, 49 and 50, it talks about a gentleman who had just heard Jesus preach. Jesus was out there preaching and his disciples were out there ministering to people. And then when they left, this guy decided to do the same thing. He wasn't even following Jesus. He was just out in the crowd and he's like, wow, the kingdom of heaven is here. I'm going to go heal the sick. I'm going to go cast out demons. I'm going to go preach Jesus. And the disciples were like, what? Look at that guy. That guy's out there casting out demons. That guy's preaching about Jesus. Well, you haven't followed Jesus like I follow Jesus. We commanded him to stop, Jesus. And Jesus is like, what? Yeah, we told him to stop because he wasn't following with like us. He had just heard the message of Jesus, and yet he was out there preaching. He was out there doing the work. And Jesus was like, hallelujah. Don't tell him to stop. Encourage him. Encourage him to keep doing what he's doing. You see, God knows that we're weak. He knows our excuses. And we've got plenty of them, amen? We've got plenty of them. I've got plenty of excuses too. And every once in a while, those excuses get the best of me. Oh, I got a headache. Or, oh, you know, I got all this stuff I got to get done. Oh, if I don't do this, then my Steffi's going to get mad at me, so I got to get her done. Sometimes that works that way, doesn't it? Life gets the best of you. But praise be to God, who knows our weaknesses and yet still calls us. He still calls us. You see, on a team, when you're part of a team, how many of you guys were involved in sports at one point in time? Anybody involved in a team situation at ever? You know, how many of you guys ever watch sports? Right? We watched the Packers probably a little bit, maybe, yeah. Angela's like, yeah. All right. Now, when you look at the Packers, you've got the 11 guys that play offense, you got the 11 guys that play defense, and you've got all the subs, all the reserves, right? I'm the backup to the backup to the backup. I feel bad for those guys behind Aaron Rodgers, you know? Every once in a while, you might get 5 minutes in there sooner or later, but yeah, I used to back up Aaron Rodgers' backup, right? Now, they're out there, they practice, and they do some things, but it's very rare that they're ever going to get in the game, all right? When I was in high school and I was part of a basketball team, we called them the bench warmers. You got the starters, and then you got the bench warmers, the guys who never really actually played in the game, but they looked good sitting on the sideline, right? You know, I was one of the bench warmers, and I was a starter. And when you're on the bench, you're always like, oh, you know, maybe I want to get in the game, maybe I don't. It's pretty intense out there. What if I screw up, right? But in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, we've got too many bench warmers. We've got way too many bench warmers. We got way too many people in reserve. I'm here today to call you guys to get in the game. Get in the game. There are no reserves. There are no bench warmers in the kingdom of heaven. There's only Christians. There's only followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? There's only people that God has work to do. You, God is calling you to get in the game today. Now, I don't know where you might be at this morning, but God has gave us a mandate. He said, go and make disciples. And the only way you can do that is get in the game. The only way that you do that is follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow his example. And tell somebody else to follow with you. You know, Paul didn't say, hey, be just like me. He said, follow me because I follow Christ. He didn't say, well, I'm doing everything right. He said, I am the worst sinner, but I'm working at it. I'm following Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'm following Jesus. As we wrap up this morning, I want to pray with you. If this has pricked your heart, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If this has touched you in some way, shape, or form, even if you're mad at me, hallelujah. That's okay. I can handle it. God is good. God is good. And he wants you to be involved. He wants you to get in the game. He wants you to follow him. Jesus is knocking on that door. He is knocking on the door. And he wants you to open that door. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't even know what it means to be free of sin, to be forgiven, to become a follower of Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you this morning. There's no time like the present. There's no time like the present to get things sorted out. It is never okay to just, I'll do it later. Do it now. Do it now. If there's anybody in here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who's never asked Jesus to become Lord and Savior of your life, I just want to pray with you this morning. I just want to pray with you. Now, if that's you, if you feel convicted, if you feel like Jesus is speaking to you this morning, if you feel the Holy Spirit at work, just go ahead and raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to join with you. Lord Jesus, if you feel like there's just so many different excuses, there's so many things that are mounted against you that are preventing you from getting in the game for becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, just want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Just acknowledge that there's some things that are just holding you back. There's some things in my life that are preventing me from following hard after Jesus. And I don't know how to break out of them. I don't know how to get through this. You see, Jesus knows our every weakness. And he has given us the Holy Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit to teach us, to lead us, to give us the words to say, to empower us to break free from those excuses, those doubts, those fears. And so if those things are standing in your way today from getting in the game, just raise your hand. Let's pray. I want to pray with you too. I want to pray with you. We need to be reflections of Jesus Christ in every area of our life because people are watching us. That's a heavy statement. And I don't want you to feel like you're being condemned this morning. That's a heavy statement, but that's also an exciting statement. That is hope. That is proof of what God is calling us to do. Because when we turn and we start to follow hard after Jesus Christ, people are going to see that. People are going to say, there is a God in heaven. Jesus is real. Look at what he has done in Eric's life. Look at what he has done in Jerry's life. Look at what he has done in Megan's life, or Chris's life, or Sally's life. Or look what he has done. There must be a God in heaven. Jesus must be real. And so, Heavenly Father, we just join together this morning. Lord, we acknowledge that we are weak. We acknowledge that we have excuses, that there's things in our life, Lord God, that get in the way. But we are thankful, Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thankful for you and for your example. We're so thankful that you have given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us, to empower us to break free from these excuses, to break free from these things that are holding us back, to lead us and to guide us, oh God, to walk by the Spirit. Lord, thank you so much that you have spoken with us this morning, that you have revealed your word for us, your plan for us this morning. Lord Jesus, we just stand together for salvation. We stand together, Lord Jesus Christ, for power to be bold, to live our lives, Lord Jesus, in a way that reflects your glory. Lord Jesus, help us to get in the game. Help us to stop being satisfied with being a bench warmer, Lord God. Help us to break free from that bench warmer mentality. And help us to get in the game, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be followers of you, to be true followers of Jesus Christ, to follow hard after you, to keep our eyes fixed on you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we keep our eyes fixed on you, lead us, Lord, help us to find others and help us to lead them to you as well. Lord Jesus, may those words burn in our hearts and our minds. Follow me because I follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus with all of your hearts, church. Follow Jesus and his example in every area of your life. Follow hard after Jesus because he is the hope of the world. He is the hope that everybody is looking for. It's not an entitlement to get married. Okay, just because people aren't searching to try and get married. People are searching for hope. They're searching for validation. They're searching for freedom. And as a Christian, we are the ones that carry that. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We have freedom and forgiveness in the cross. And as we keep our eyes focused on him, we can lead others to him as well. And they can find forgiveness. They can find healing. They can find freedom. They can find salvation. They can find fulfillment. They can finally have peace because they will find a God who loves them. They will find a God who created them for a purpose. Follow hard after Jesus. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ and help disciple someone else. Lord, help us, empower us, fill us, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, even as now as we pray together. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come.